Welcome back in our podcast, Legal Ops Insiders, a podcast about everything related to legal operations aimed at heads of legal, general counsel, legal ops leaders, and everyone interested in improving or enabling legal services delivery. In this episode, we're going to talk about legal ops readiness or legal ops maturity. In short, what is legal operations and when are you ready for legal ops or when are you ready for legal tech? Jan Willem.
I think you're always ready for it. Each client that I have is ready for it, or making steps, or making baby steps, or thinking about making steps.
So it's a must-have.
It is a must-have, absolutely. Absolutely.
Linda.
It gives your department a certain structure and certain possibilities to enable all the legal counsels or lawyers to do their job in the most efficient way. So I think it's good that we today discuss the maturity and when you should start. But you should start as soon as possible. But if you want to have a certain overview about topics and what your level is in that topic, a maturity scan is a wise idea.
And maybe you are doing things and you're not even aware that it's called legal operations, of course.
No, because that's what you often hear. You hear often that people say, okay, but we don't have certain processes. We are far behind the curve. But if everyone's behind the curve, then the curve is not there.
Right.
So I think everyone has something, although they don't say it's a process. Maybe it's not written in a policy, but you have your process. It's only about making it more official. But let's talk about the different levels of maturity.
I've looked into this topic. I've always found it a little bit remote for what we are doing with our legal technology until we had to solve issues of our customers, really. And I think if you look at what a readiness scan or a maturity model or a maturity scan does, and you look it up on the internet, what it actually is, then there are, I think, two main big, with somewhat global reach, organizations. CLOCK, we already mentioned that. I think we also mentioned ACC in the other episode. It's the Association of Corporate Counsel, and they both have a best practices model consisting of 12 core competencies or disciplines that you need to mature in. And readiness actually means that you have your data, processes, and people at the right level of readiness.
And maybe that you recognize them, so that you know you should have them, or maybe already have part of it, or maybe
know what's there now.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
How you
know what's there.
Evaluate that.
And I think it's, but this is very abstract. To make it a little bit more concrete, if you look at contracting processes, everyone recognizes the case that you are in an organization where, well, at best you have some templates for your core business-related sales or your main procurement purchasing contract, supply chain-related contracts. That is really a sort of early stage of where you should be. Your next stage would be where you have been experimenting a bit with the optimization of that element, contracting or contracts, where you really learned some lessons that enable you to look forward and that tell you where you will be going for your industry, for your specific context, for your specific organization or a company, and where the future is. And likewise, and that's what I find very useful in this ACC legal operations maturity model, they have these 12 competencies and they are about change management and communication. So how is the communication within the legal department organized? Or how is change management as a skill in the DNA of a legal department or in the DNA of legal operations?
Well, and it's broader than just the legal department. It's not only within the department, but it's also within your organization.
Connecting. Yeah.
Connecting, because you communicate with all the organization. The processes are linked through other processes within the organization.
Absolutely. And what you see with the ACC, these 12, one of them is project and process management.
Yep.
Project management being you have an M&A transaction, or you have a major litigation that consumes the time of one or two legal dedicated legal counsel, for example. That's a project as such. How do you project-wise manage that project? Yep. This is project management as a separate skill where you can be the beginner and learn as you go, where you can have your lessons learned, but also where you can have business managers who have project management or process management.
And maybe also interesting, one of the skills that you need as a lawyer, you need to recognize projects and manage it like a project. It's not what you learn during your studies law. It's when you work and you work project-wise, which is really different from the day-to-day work of a lawyer. So you recognize projects and you make a start and you make very clear where you want to go, where you want to end, and you monitor that and you organize it in a scheduled way. And that is a skill that is very underestimated, I think, and not really recognized by lawyers. But I did it when I was at Schiphol. My project was creating one contract management system instead of seven different systems. Within the organization, there were seven places where contracts were stored. The real estate department had its own system. The commercial department had its own system. Procurement had its own system. So contracts were scattered over the organization. But everyone had a process for itself. But there was not one process. So my project was come to one process and come to one place for storing contracts. It's not legal at all. It was not a legal process.
No.
And it's probably not necessary to be mature in the processing from day one, because day two is that seven departments have their own way of processes. Probably there are business managers who have their project management skills or process optimization skills to help a legal department in that. But in the end, I think the vision for the longer future, especially if you have seven departments, is you want to leverage AI.
Yes.
And AI is about breaking the silos of departments so that people know how to find each other, so become more collaborative. AI is about, or data management, also one of those 12 competencies, is about breaking the barriers between data, bringing the data in one big pool where there is one single source of truth available for marketing communications, for salespeople, for people in the operations, after sales
Risk management.
Yeah, that's also one of the topics I focused on in the beginning, is making the unstructured data more structured, because you want this data to be used to see if processes are working, but also for the reporting and the insights about the processes. So I think that's a really interesting topic as well.
And one of the things over here is, yes, it is important that you acknowledge, that you recognize, hey, this is a process that really is not functioning. And of course you can be irritated about all kind of inefficiencies. I'm easily irritated about such type of inefficiencies. But I think part of those competencies is also the leadership in an organization. When I talk to heads of legal, they say, I'm serving leader. I mean, we have dienend leiderschap in Dutch. I'm not sure what the English term is, but
servant leader.
Hmm?
A servant leader.
Servant leader. So you listen to your people and they tell you what to do. But the question is then, is that actually true if you want to change something that is not necessarily recognized by everyone, or actually even denied by several ones, shouldn't you step up as a leader and say, listen, people, we're going to change it. We are all going to change it, whether you like it or not. There is the beautiful heaven of what it will be. Here's my vision. And here's the project that we are going to put in place.
That is leadership, of course.
There are a lot of different change management theories, of course, because I think this is one of the strategies in change management. But you should choose one of the strategies for every project. But to convince your people that there is value for them is really important. Do you think it's necessary to start with an official maturity scan? Because I think it shouldn't be an audit. It should be a basis of where do I stand, where could I improve, which of the topics need more maturity before I start to elaborate on that. Do you think a certain scan is required before you start with legal operations? Or
we agree, we're now working on a very, very elaborate readiness scan or a maturity scan. it's really not a necessity. But what is really crucial is that you understand, and the ACC model helps you with that, or the CLOC model helps you with that, by identifying on those 12 competencies, which are subdivided in another 10 to 20 competencies, what your early, intermediate, or transformative stage is at that level. It opens your horizon to, oh, okay, I need to be aware of internal resources management or law firm management practices, and the future there will be that and that and that.
So support. It enables you to make a program plan for the upcoming, let's say, 2 to 5 years.
Yeah.
And you don't need to sit down and write out your plan, but such a readiness can basically wakes you up for those things that you didn't have on the radar yet. And that is very useful.
Well, and it is very useful to get the input from your organization, from your team, but also the people around that, the people you work for in the organization. Because getting that input gives you a lot of information that you maybe are unaware of, or maybe you are aware but not explicitly aware. So doing a scan can really help you also to gain support.
To sell the story.
Yeah, to get support from the organization to get what you want.
Yeah, we also started with surveys. So surveys in the team, but also at our clients, which are internal other departments, to see how it goes, what we do good, and what processes can be improved. Because in the end, you help the business in a corporate. So it's really important to take that into account as well.
Yeah. I think from stakeholder management, and there we have another such competence of the 12.
Yeah.
Stakeholder management, if you talk to people in the business who have an MBA, they talk a certain language.
Yeah.
So if you do such a readiness scan or a maturity scan, then you develop a sort of vocabulary and a sort of a level of professionalism which resonates with those people.
Yeah.
And I think that's really helpful. Then I think legal ops is for many organizations triggered, becoming on the agenda at the moment that they start implementing legal technology. Have such a scan for your own organization helps you get on the radar where you need to be for legal tech in 3 to 5 years' time.
Yes.
And know what your requirements will be. What you see at an early stage or intermediate stage of implementing legal technology and see whether it flies and how it flies and maybe successful or not, but have your learning lessons. A next stage will be that legal counsel have their platform on which they do all their work all the day. And it makes a lot of sense that you have grip and understanding of what that entails. Matter management, for example, you want probably to have that a bit integrated with your CLM solution or with a contract automation solution or entity management. For us, matter management is something that is extremely easy to create because we have it with our own programmers. They do the ticketing. And it's a sort of copy-paste of their code, and it's also their ticketing system, and it's copy-paste of their code into our solution to develop that. So you need to talk to your legal tech vendor to understand on the roadmap, while I'm not there yet, but for my wish to be in that direction in 3 years' time, I would need some...
And maybe it's good also to make the bridge here to the AI developments, because they're also very much on this part. You will manage probably a few AI agents who do the work for you.
Yeah.
So that's the dashboard that you're talking about. That is the platform that you work on. But in the very near future, each lawyer will manage a few AI bots who do things for you.
Yeah, for your technology roadmap, it's definitely important to zoom out and to see what your processes are now and how you also work with the other departments, because the other department can have a certain tool. Can we connect them with our tool and also with future AI system? Because AI system will make it easier to research your databases in which tool or whatsoever. So it's necessary if you buy a certain AI tool that it can connect to your current tools. So I think definitely for the technology roadmap, it's very important to have a certain overview. If it's a data maturity scan or just a research you did yourself,
right,
that doesn't matter, I think, but it's good to have this overview to see where you're going to.
Absolutely. And I think part of it will then well, then also somewhat introduce topics that are non-existent at an early stage legal operations organization.
Yeah, and maybe to add to that, I think it's also important for lawyers, for in-house lawyers specifically, to be very aware of the technology roadmap of your company. So you need a good relationship with your IT department. You need to understand what's happening there. You don't have to be a programmer. You don't have to talk in code. But you need to understand what's happening in your... You need to reach out because they do speak a different language usually. But you need to have an understanding and you need to know how you connect to that with your specific requirements that you have as a legal department.
I think there are two competencies of those 12 that come into play then. The one is data management. That is really an enterprise-wide affair.
Correct.
Data are coming in at marketing communications. Data are coming in the sales processes. You work with data on the operational level and after sales servicing. Data management is enterprise-wide. And let's not forget, data are collected in negotiated documents.
Yep.
You negotiate them with the vendor. The techies of the organization negotiate them with the vendors of technology or with the consultants that they hire for doing development work. That is data that you would want to collect somewhere. And then you can, of course, think, okay, we have a RevOps solution, which used to be the Salesforce solutions or the HubSpots or what have you of this world, the Oracles. It can be an ERP where all those data are collected. That may well be true, but I think if you elevate contracting to a somewhat higher level than what is the starting date and what is the limitation of liability, and oh, by the way, payment term, can we agree on one? But elevate it to more the management of statements of work and the management of operational data, then you get to data management, which is an enterprise-wide affair.
Yep. Or IP, or licenses, all that type of contracts have a lot of data that are very valuable to your company.
Yes, and you see that all those topics interconnect with each other, because I think you also need to train your team about what is data, because it is not the natural habitat for a legal counsel to know what data items are.
Right.
But it's interesting to know how many contracts you're reviewing on a daily basis, how many incidents you have, or how many litigations you have, because these are all data items, and I see that not everyone is aware of that. And also, when you're looking at legal tech, to see what kind of reporting functionalities a certain tool has. Yes, I was recently looking in at a tool which was great, but it didn't have any dashboarding, or it couldn't give me the data, or I couldn't extract data. I mean, that's crucial, because you want the system to give you more insights to further improve your processes.
Yep.
So you see that all those topics within the CLOC or the ACC really interconnects with each other, and that makes it sometimes difficult to see where you could start. So then again, the maturity scan.
I think
beneficial.
It's underestimated how important metrics and data are.
Correct.
I know from very large multinationals that they have been surpassed by the business R&D departments, sales department, procurement departments on what they still have in their day-to-day contracts. They took it out years ago, because the contracting processes used to be way too slow for them to wait for it.
Yep.
They basically asked for a simple framework agreement for payment term, limitation of liability, and ownership of IP or so, and they put everything in statements of work. And I know of corporates where they have these scoped statements of work, SOWs, where the creation of an SOW was even too slow, and where they issue purchase orders under a statement of work, and where the purchase order is basically for very concrete sub projects to implement. Now, that is coming from an era where also the Oracle's SAP, the big ERP system, gained importance, and where they took over the legal affairs that are in it. But still, if you have a litigation about liability, you will have to aggregate it all, bring it to an arbitral tribunal or to a court or so, and then have it all under a contract. You would want to have what is agreed in a CLM, in a contract lifecycle management solution, where you have all those data all together.
Yeah, but when it goes to litigation, you want more. You also want the communication. That's probably becoming relevant. So how did the contract came to force? What happened? What was the negotiation like? What was the communication? You need much more data than just the contract.
But you see the value if it's all organized properly. Absolutely. And the data is there, because then you can also ask external law from a way more concrete question,
yep,
which reduces the external counsel call. So again, the topic interrelates with each other, and it's, you see the importance of data in every topic.
Absolutely, yeah. It's this data management is one. Document management is indeed another one. I would expect, by the way, that if you have a solution for contract automation and contract lifecycle management, CLM has a, should have a repository in it. Your repository should have the earlier versions, or negotiations versions. It should have those statements related to data processing agreement, for example, an NDA if it's part of a transaction. But it should also have the related agreement. If you have a transaction that consists of a master services agreement or a framework agreement worked out in dozens of statements of work, you want to have that, and I would say, in your CLM altogether. And your versioning that you would expect from a document management system should be part of your CLM. And yes, having then your emails there, and yes, having then the AI do some automated profiling of the individual documents, you probably have that in your CLM, but it is also where DMS solutions,
yep,
evolve.
And your entity management and all the systems that contain legal data, basically. They are already scattered usually around the organization or in different systems. They're duplicated.
Yeah.
Sometimes the entity management information is in an entity management system, but also in the contract management system, because the entities that contract are also, that same data is in the control. And how do you that then keep updated? How does it interrelate? That is still basic legal operations.
But we can conclude, if you have those systems in place, you're not in the early stage.
Right. No,
I think,
exactly.
I think you really, you need to allow yourself time to learn how this works, and you need to allow the businesses to have these multiple systems coexisting,
yep,
to understand, okay, so for the whole of us, the whole of the organization, what we need is, and then define what your use cases are,
yep,
what your specific needs for the specific parts that have their own standalone,
yes,
solution, and build it to what I think should have data managed with repository, document management, integrated, enterprise-wide, contract lifecycle management. And I think that...
Well, it's data management. Well, it's not just contract lifecycle. It's all the data that is relevant for the work of lawyers.
Absolutely. Underlying, I would say that your CLM is a sort of the concrete embodiment of
for the enterprise-wide, that is where all the, give me your contracts and I tell you what company you are, I tell you your value, I tell you your risks, I tell you your business model.
Mm.
So that is the value of a CLM system, of course. Much of the heart of the company is there. Negotiation results are in contracts. So you can find with contracts, you can, yeah, it's not for nothing, in a due diligence, contracts are very important. So yeah.
But when you start with this and you start with a scan, I'm a big fan of making a plan, because you cannot start with implementing two of these tools at the same time, because the team will not, there's too much change for the team, there's too much change in the processes.
Yep.
So I'm a big fan of having a starting point and reading these theories. I think there are some big four companies have their own theory as well, or their own principles, such as Glock 12. So have a certain base. It doesn't matter which one you choose, ACC or Glock or the other ones. But have a certain basis and see what you have already, yep, and make a plan, because you can have to not do everything at the same time.
I think that's the most general advice that we can give to our listeners, who probably all are on a very different maturity level.
Yes.
But the most important tip you can give is spend time on this. Allow yourself some time to look at it. A plan basically
gives you the insight of where your weaknesses or your vulnerabilities,
yep,
actually are. So where your points of attention or your priorities should be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What we see, we're going to have a separate episode on change management, and I like to work with a framework that I found many years ago. One of the key aspects of change management is, of course, make it small, small, small.
Yep. And simple.
And simple. So the threshold's low.
Yep.
This is an emotional component. But the funny thing is, yes, you will then look for a use case and optimize the process and how the use case is actually helping service delivery, legal services delivery in the organizations. And then you build several use cases, and likewise you build your requirements for an end-to-end solution, and you see what your transformative stage of legal tech or legal operations will be. But to make it small, you should do that in the right way, I think, because you can making things small is basically because people...
No, the plan is big. I mean, you have a
plan. The plan is big.
And, yes. But to make it work, you have to make parts of it small. You have to make steps.
Yeah.
But you reach the overreaching goal, that's the plan. And that can be very big and can have big consequences. It can require investments, for example. But to make it work, the only way to do that is to make small steps. Also because of resources. I mean, how many people do you have for this? Who is going to help you within the organization? Does IT have a project manager available for your implementation, for example? You're very dependent.
That's also the role of the legal operations leader or manager or council to have these relationships with IT and to know their planning and see where you can on the planning.
And making it small is not only about making the project, the implementation that you're undertaking small, but it may require that you are immediately widespread in, for example, setting up an integration with SharePoint or so, or immediately connecting a solution with DocuSign. Because that's to make the small actually operate small in the end user's day-to-day practice. Small is important because the early stage of undertaking an implementation is on top of the existing business.
Yes, no, exactly. And actually, you mentioned DocuSign. I find that a very good example. I mean, the digital signature in general, the tools that DocuSign is a good example, there are more tools. It's very simple to use.
It's very simple, and
it is everything that was on paper. I have clients that really want wet signatures on everything. They have big signing books and they still want it for no reason. And if you look at it, that process and also even paragraphs on each page with DocuSign, it is so much easier. There's no reason not to use a digital signature.
And make your return on investment of buying the tool. I once heard an example from a law firm, and it really illustrates how you can easily make your return on investment, that a legal manager is printing the document, putting it in a folder, walking up the stairs, getting the signature, walking down the stairs, scanning it in, and then emailing it again to the person who wants to receive it.
Yeah.
How easy can you make your return on investment of buying DocuSign or AdobeSign or whatever? So make it also small, but also easy. Some situations illustrate so perfectly how you can change certain processes. And also, I think it's if you start with legal operations, choose for low-hanging fruit, choose for a situation in which you can give value or improvement to the team or your direct colleagues or your IT department, because you need them along the road, your support, also procurement, which improves their day-to-day, so they get excited about legal operations.
Yeah. Another good example that we encounter is the digital shareholder register. It's still, in the Netherlands, a very old-fashioned thing. People have their shareholder register in paper books for no reason. You can digitalize it, you can give your notary access.
Yeah, there are a lot of tools for that.
I know, but they're not used. They're still not used. It's very easy to do this, and the business case for one of our clients was very simple. They had a lot of transactions. They had constantly couriers running around with these paper books between notaries and their office. The business case was simply cut out the courier costs.
Yeah, oh my God. They're so expensive.
Yeah, but these tools are not that expensive, and the implementation is also not that expensive. No. So why do we still have paper books? That's basically because the notaries are very old-fashioned and think this is good business for us.
Main message of this episode is start.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And,
it's not hard to start.
It's not hard to start. That's a good slogan of this.
We've talked a lot about, I mean, most of the, all of the 12 competencies have passed now our review here. few that we didn't really talk about is one is internal resources management, and another one is a law firm and vendor management.
Now the last one, we did the internal, we talked about that, about getting your connection with IT and with other corporate staff departments.
But also from your team.
And from your team, yeah.
I think in a perfect world, I think as a general counsel, you will see where your team is working on and not the exact work. But for example, if you have a transaction, there's a peak in work and another team has not a big project so they can support other people. I think in the future, you want to be more flexible with those resources.
Yes.
So I think that's also a topic from CLOC Core 12 principles, that you can change your resources within your team based on where the urgency is.
Yep.
And if you have transparency because of certain systems, because of knowledge centers, etc., and because of certain policies, it becomes more easy to rotate the team members if there is a certain peak.
I completely agree. I think that is one of the benefits with a good operational system. Knowing where your data is, knowing your processes,
yes.
It's much easier to plan your resources effectively.
And then having done a readiness scan and having a plan sort of resulting from your maturity scan helps you also explain to people in the team why you're not giving one person too much benefit at this stage, while at the next stage another person in the team could fill in other aspects that need to be filled.
Yeah.
No, you can just better support them. Yeah. And I think that's very good also for the work-life balance, which is important for team members.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And also we discussed in one of the last episodes is that it enables your team members to have more fun in their work.
Yep.
Because they do less administrative work if the processes are right and can focus more on the interesting tasks.
We may need to have a little bit of real-life examples. Legal leaders who have their experiences in early stage and intermediate stage, and maybe the visionaries who have seen it all already.
Well, if they're listening, they are welcome to react, and we will invite them here to join the conversation.
That's a good invitation. If you think completely differently, or you agree, or you have a certain insight about the Legal Ops Insiders podcast, please place a comment under this episode at the platform you're listening to. I think we only have one topic left, and certain topics we will also elaborate in other episodes, but external counsel management.
Yep.
I think this is, or they call it sometimes differently, financial management, budget management, external vendor management, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the one changing enormously nowadays.
Rapidly, yeah.
You see now on LinkedIn a lot of news articles about AI and in-house and law firms that is changing the whole setting. But external counsel management, if you do it properly, there's so much to win. And not only regarding cost, but also regarding quality and efficiency and getting the work more rapidly done. So I think this is something you can easily focus on and there are easy wins. But we probably talk another episode about it more elaborate. But I know that certain bigger companies have a dedicated team on external counsel management.
Yeah.
Let's say more than 3-4 members. So I think that's already showing the importance of having it organized.
Yeah, it's very interesting that you mentioned, because it's not only that as a large corporate you have the leverage over law firms, but it's also the leverage that the benefit that you can have from startup scale vendors who don't have the resources that you seek, who don't have the capacity to execute an implementation. And we have had one of the biggest corporates worldwide, at least in the US, they are one of the biggest. And they had their own project managers and their onboarding managers for Onboarding We Agree in their legal department. They did a whole lot of things that normally I would do with our customers for onboarding. They took it out of our hands. And
that's very good, because they know their organization.
That's
much more efficient. They know the people, and they know how it works there.
This is an extremely innovative company where they seek to work with innovators, where they understand that if they want to have the most innovative solutions, as they sought with We Agree, that you then should not expect a fully mature vendor, if you wish, but anticipate this by filling in those gaps and do some sort of risk management in your innovation strategy that you implement together with a startup. They're not really not a startup, but yes, in the execution, things can go better. And it's not necessary that you dismiss a vendor for being too small, but rather that you're aware of the risks involved there and that you feel that in yourself or in partnership with your...
That's a good word. I think also because external council management, a lot of people think about cost management, but and that sounds a bit negative. I want to make it more positive. Think about partnership,
yep.
Because I think you can add so much value and get more quality for the price you pay if you make it a partnership, especially with upcoming AI. You can make agreements about how the use of AI so that both parties, yourself and the external party, is the most efficient. But also, I spoke to a legal manager of a law firm, and they say if we negotiate certain fees, it will save us so much time instead of you asking a quote for every small task. So all those things, if you partner up and you make agreements on how to work the most efficiently together, the results get more better and everyone has more fun. So external council management is a big win as well.
I think that's a very nice conclusion for our episode about LegalOps readiness or maturity.
Yes.
I would wholeheartedly encourage everyone listening to do their own readiness scan or maturity scan. There are a few available online. We have one if you wish, and it's helpful. Thank you very much. We look forward to seeing you back in the next episode.